Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hushmo Black Forum. Here we do it bigger, we do it better, we do it longer, and out of necessity, we'll do it louder than anyone out here. So relax. Here's your host, Hushmo Black.
Welcome, y'all. Welcome out in the cyberspace, a Facebook friend. Welcome to the Hushmo Black Forum. I am the Hushmo. I'm your host for this event. Oh yeah, first of all, just good to be out here with you all. 7/21/12, y'all. 7/21/12. This year is really getting on as 21. Hey, 5 more months to 12/21, y'all. 5 more months and counting. We don't know that. Oh, y'all don't know. Hey, 12/21 is when the Mayan calendar ends. Some prognosticators, I guess you'd call them, has predicted all kinds of calamities might ensue that day or that date, 12/21/2012. So we got 5 months to go, y'all. Hey, somebody said they had the 2013 schedule all planned out. I told them don't discard those plans just yet, but yeah, I don't know. That must be something to that 12/21 day. I don't know what it is. I kind of got a feeling that it might have some significance. Hey, besides 12/21, y'all, this is a crazy year already without any further tragedies. Just had one, 7/18 there, midnight, out in Aurora, Colorado, y'all. Some maniac. Is that proper description of this guy? I don't know. If he's a maniac, you assume that he's got some kind of mental problem to go into a crowd at the theater, open fire, shoot some 71 people, killing 12. And counting, you think something had to go wrong in his mind mentally. I don't know. We've had all kind of different opinions coming to the Hushmo Black Forum about what happened. Was this a terrorist act, a domestic terrorist act? A lot of folks think so. I don't know. Did the political environment precipitate it? The harshness of our politics, talk radio. Rush Limbaugh was just talking about the Bane character in the Batman movie and making light of how he thought it was some kind of democratic plot, if you can believe that. But yeah, and sure enough, some individual, I don't know if that affected his thinking or had anything to do with his thinking, but surely the conversation of talk radio, I did a whole program on talk radio on the right, because I find most of the vitriol are coming from the right over the airwaves. I do. I think it has an effect on people, especially if they got a weak man going in to it. Rush Limbaugh got some 50 million listeners, y'all. Has a tremendous amount of influence over some of those listeners, no doubt. Now, I'm not blaming Rush Limbaugh for the actions of one James E. Holmes. His tone and the tone of his peers out there on talk radio and on TV or whatever, on the right, if you will, their tone certainly it doesn't help the situation in terms of cooling the temperature between the political divides that we have going on here in the country today. We have to combat it. Out here at Hushmore Black Forum, we advocate on behalf of Americans of African descent, and not because we don't love everybody. We love everybody. We just happen to be a part of that community, and naturally, by extension, find ourselves advocating on their behalf for justice, for social justice. And right now the politics has a profound effect on our community. And right now we're catching the brunt of the economic turmoil that's been going on in the country for the last 10 years. We're catching the brunt of that, and we like to highlight our displeasures with what's going on in terms of the political situation in the country here, y'all. Having a lot now. We are a huge supporter of the president, President Obama, too, and that is a challenge because we contend that this should not be a closed race. This presidential race should not be closed, but close at all, y'all. But because of racism and racists that we have in the country here in 2012, y'all, we still got a significant number of people, Americans, that are racist and dislike the president just because of his color. So we that's a huge a problem, not only just for the president, but for the country. For the country, because what happens is you have a race, a political a race going on here now where the race shouldn't be close. This man should be up by 10, 12 points all over the board there from what he's done from the time he took office under tremendous adverse circumstances when he came into office, and he quieted all that stuff down and got it to the point. I mean, we were losing some 700,000 jobs a month. 700,000 jobs a month was being lost when he took office in 2009, and today the economy is creating jobs every month. His policy has had a positive effect on the country. Period. Anybody can look at it and see. And if it wasn't for 20% of the majority of the population being racist, this wouldn't even be a close race, y'all. That's what we see out here on the Hushmore Black Forum. So we're going to keep driving that point forward, until this election. And that thing out there in Colorado, the president and Mitt Romney did take a day off yesterday and give the country some sense of civility between the two parties. I thought that was a good gesture to put politics aside for one day. We thought that was a good gesture because we don't. But this thing up there in Colorado, it's still, the information is still coming out. We don't know what happened. They tell us that the suspect is not talking to the police at this time. I think his parents or something is on their way from California to Colorado to, I guess, get him some legal counsel and to just get with him to see. I don't know what happened there to the guy. Seemed like a pretty sharp guy, but we don't know what was in his mind. Maybe he just snapped. I'm not going to prejudge this thing right now. I'll give it until we find out more. We don't know. Not right now. We don't know. Pray that it was nothing more than someone having some mental challenges, but it definitely looked like it was premeditated. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, wow, this looked like this thing was planned over a period of time. Yeah, some folks said it was premeditated terrorist act. I can't go there right now. Just looking at it, this guy seemed to buy all these weapons over a short period of months. Guy had some, like, I don't know, 10,000 rounds of ammunition, yeah, or more. Some crazy number of what you gonna do with all that kind of stuff? Booby trapped his apartment. Apparently, to kill whoever came through that door first. Why? Why is he? There's a lot of pieces to this puzzle that hasn't been put together yet, no doubt. That's going to take a little time to piece together here, I guess. But it seemed like something that's crazy about this. This is a brilliant person that seemed to have just went off the deep end, y'all. Like I said, I pray that that's all it was. And that's enough. I mean, that's tragedy. It's a tragedy within itself. Were this to prove out to be part of some larger operation, that's something entirely different there. I hope that's not the case. We hope that's not the case. But it's just our prayers go out to the victims and their family of this tragic event there. Make you not want to go to the movies. I very seldom go now, but things like that. And I mean, the gun writers, the NRA, their reason, going by what their dogma, yeah, everybody in that movie should have had a gun. Can you imagine that, y'all? Some 200 or 300 people in the movie, all of them got guns, and shooting break out in the dark. But is everybody in there going to start shooting or what? What's going to happen there in that scenario? That'll be crazy, y'all. Hey, the Hushman was in a war, y'all. I know what happened when the gunshots started ringing out. Hey, everybody starts shooting. It's just a natural reaction. Everybody starts shooting. And hey, but the NRA said, yeah, all those folks should have had a gun in that movie. It would have stopped something. That's what the right said. That's what the right wing said. And yeah, they said everybody should have had a gun. That's their philosophy. Let's arm everybody. With AK, what about AR-15, that automatic with 100 magazine, 100 shot magazine? That would have been illegal under the 2000, under that thing Clinton put in place for assault rifles that George Bush let expire in 2004. That 100 round thing, that's what he used to shoot damn near 100 people, y'all. You couldn't imagine a magazine with 100 rounds? Huh? You see what happened? Well, yeah, you can imagine it because you know what happens. That's what happens. 70-something people get shot. 12 of them get killed. That's what happened. Hey, come on, y'all. Come on. Something is wrong. And they talking about the Second Amendment, your right to bear arms. And this Duke Gingrich, I heard him say something about the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers dealt with Second Amendment rights in a wilderness when they had flint-loaded rifles, not assault automatic stuff they got today, Newt. Come on. Come on, please. Hey, please, somebody need to get the NRA and all them jokers in place and get these assault weapons and shit off the street. That's what needs to happen. It's crazy that this country, this civilized, supposedly civilized society that we live in, would allow AKA assault rifles on the street. It's crazy. Is what I say. It's crazy. As if the more of them you have on the street, somehow that's going to make us safer.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all. Hey, you got a Hushmore Black Forum here, y'all. Coming to you live and in living color from the ATL, y'all. Saturday, 7 to 9, every Saturday we're out here on Blog Talk. Blog Talk Radio, y'all. You can find us on our website, hushmoblack.com. Go there, follow us on our Facebook page. Like that page. We still like folks to like it, need folks to like it. Yeah. I don't know. Hey, beautiful day here in the ATL, too, by the way, y'all. Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's 80 degrees, 88 degrees here in town. But I tell you what, we've had a heat wave. I don't know. I know my electric bill went up like crazy here last month, yeah. Hey, with that air running all day. Hey, you know, we live in Georgia, y'all. It's hot down here all the time. You got to have that air on. Got to have that air on, but my goodness, that electric company make you pay for it. Yeah. I'm out here on the Hushmore Black Forum to do it bigger, to do it better, to do it longer. And if necessary, sometimes we'll do it louder. We don't like to do that, but yeah, to get a word in, we'll sometimes have to crank the volume up. We're paying our homage to the family members and the wounded out there in Colorado, y'all. That was such a crazy, crazy thing there. That happened. Here, you know, Batman movies and all that stuff is crazy enough as it is. And then at 12 o'clock, you have this character dressed up in full battle gear come into the movie throwing tear gas and opening fire. People in the movie don't know what's going on. They don't know if that's a prank part of a crazy movie or what. Initially, they didn't know. you know what? Just a crazy, crazy event that took place there. The nation needs to step back and examine exactly where it's at from a moral standpoint. I'm not saying everybody needs to go to church, but because that's about I'm saying the country itself has got a moral a problem, no doubt. And been here a long time, you know. Ain't nothing new. It's not new. The problem's not new, and that's the problem. That is part of the problem. They've got a moral problem that hasn't been addressed, never been addressed from the formation of the country, you know. Absolutely. Now, remember, the founders contended that the country was formed under some divine intervention here. If you gave into that premise, imagine what would the man upstairs, a God Almighty himself, what would he think about how the country has carried out its history? I mean, what about the slave? What about the millions and millions of slaves that this country dealt with in such an inhumane way? Do you think the Founding Fathers was correct and that God Almighty himself was there leading the way for the formation of this country under his guidance, and they go so horribly wrong in executing out his commandments? Now, surely the so-called Christians didn't live up to the commandments found in the Bible that they used. No way did they do that. I mean, that's obvious. So what if you just sit back and look what the Founding Fathers was talking about and look at our history, we see that this thing repeats itself, y'all. I'm convinced. Look at the story in the Bible, the Hebrews coming out of Egypt, Babylon, that situation is pretty much identical to those Hebrews coming out of Egypt, by the way. When Babylon was destroyed because of its corrupt morals. And pretty much you can make an argument that this country, the morals has been corrupted, yeah. And there's no doubt, yeah. In my mind, we got an opinion out here on the Hushmo Black Forum. Now, that's what we do. We advocate on behalf of Americans of African descent, not because we don't love everybody, just because we are part of that community. And by extension, we find ourselves advocating on their behalf. But we advocate for justice for everybody. We love everybody. Want to let you know that. But just looking at the history here, everybody don't love us. Everybody don't love me. And that's a problem. It's been a problem. from day one. We write about it, though, y'all. Hey, we're author, too, y'all. You know. Yeah, the Hushmo is an author. Our first book, The Life and Trials of Jimmy C. Cameron, you can go to my webpage, hushmoblack.com, and find a copy of it there. Second book is Right Around the Corner, White Racism, Black Hate, and American Reality is the title of it. We pretty much a takeoff from my first book. Really, what we're doing in that second book is still chronicling my family's history here in Georgia, which go back, before Georgia was a state, go back, before the Constitution was written. So my family's history is part of the country's history. We're indigenous to the United States of America. We're not immigrants to the country. Oh, yeah, we came over and changed. My family did on the bottom of a boat somewhere. But when this country was formed, we were here. So thereby making us indigenous to the country, even though we were drug over insane. Yeah. So we got a fascinating history here in this country that we write about. Oh yeah, does it include racism and hate? Absolutely. And we can't even write about our history. we cannot write a story about my family's history without running into racism and hate. Can't do it. It can't be done. So we write about that in my new book. My first book, my writings, just cover my family's history. That's what we do. It's a fascinating read. Yeah, when you put it up against what's going on in the country today, we try to bring a better understanding to just how devastating racism was for the country and for my family and me, my people here in this country. Try to bring a better light on how devastating it was, and shed light on the fact that we're not just talking about racism, KKK type racism from the citizens. We're talking about the government itself. Yeah, the government itself was racist because of what they allowed the citizens to do. Absolutely. Anytime the government that allowed for the slavery to exist, for the sale and to classify humans as property, enslaves to rape them, to sell them, to split them up, to dehumanize them, to take away their culture, to, everything. Act of inhumanity this side of all-out genocide in war that's always been perpetrated on man. Slavery right here in this country. Yeah? Oh, absolutely. The viciousness of it, just the barbaric nature of it has few rivals. I mean, in the history of man. Oh yeah, slavery here in this country. yeah, one of the worst inhumanity acts perpetrated on a fellow man. Yeah, ain't no doubt. That thing fell, and we talk about it. That thing didn't just fall because of a man. Man never would have got rid of that institution. Man himself didn't have the will or the capacity morally to rid himself of it. No, heck no. No, it was more than that that brought that slave institution down. We talk about it in our book. I mean, yeah. But still, today the country hasn't learned the lesson of what happened in that Civil War. Why some half a million people got killed and died? They still don't. They don't understand what happened there. They still trying to figure out who started the war and what was it about. They hopefully my book has shed some light on who started it and what it was about. Yeah. we like to think we shed some light on it. Absolutely. White racism, black hate, and American reality. Coming your way soon, y'all. From yours truly, the Hushman. It's our second undertaking, y'all. We're having such a great time with it. Just hard to close it out because all this crazy stuff is still happening that's so relevant to what we're talking about here. The fact that we got an African American president really brought this thing to the forefront, and it's good that it did bring it to the forefront because. This thing's been boiling underneath the surface for some years. Well, it hasn't went away, y'all. It's been right underneath the surface. The pockets of racism that still exist in the country. And if it's just 20%, like my research shows, if it's only that, that's a powerful number of people. Are you talking about 40, 50 million people? If my research is correct, a lot of my peers says more. A lot of my peers says more. And it may be, but there's a lot of good people. There's a lot of good people. White, black, red, whatever. There's a lot of, the vast majority of people are good. I believe it's that 20%. That 20%. The way the political system, the way this republic is set up, a dedicated segment, can affect a lot of change and a lot of havoc on society. Can have quite an effect on the laws that are put forth, as we see, a small segment, and I like to contend that a small right wing segment of the Republican Party, who are racist, is dominating the politics of that party right now. Period. That's what I say, and they can do it. They can do it, and it's proven itself out. I mean, oh yeah, you're gonna tie government up there in Washington because enough folks then came to their senses and see where this radical group want to take the country, and people are starting to wake up to that. Hopefully, they'll wake up before November 6th and put some of these rascals back to their day jobs and get them out of government. I hope that's the case. but yeah. Hey, y'all. Wow, it's about 30. Wow, we went right through a break here, y'all. Hey, y'all, we got to take a quick pause for the calls. It's about 7:35, y'all, in the ATL. Wow, how time flies when you're having fun, as they say. We ran right through. We just rambling on out here, y'all, as we always do. But we just trying to make sense of this Colorado shooting thing. And, you know, that's what we do. Try to make sense of things that just don't make no sense. And right now, that thing don't make no sense. We hopefully, we're almost sure by the next show, next week, we're going to have a lot more information on what transpired out there in Colorado. I'm curious to see what they found out about the gentleman's social websites and his emails and things of that nature to see if there was more people involved in this thing. Yeah. It could be a standalone lone wolf type of incident. But the FBI and all those folks, they have got to get to the bottom of it to make sure that it was just that, just one individual who happened to, for whatever reason, snap and committed this horrific act, because it was more than that. And we found out that this was some kind of incident that involved more than one person. We got some serious problems here, y'all. We got some serious, serious problems here. Yeah. So we got to take a quick break here, y'all. We done got carried away here. We'll be right back after on the other side there. Y'all hang in there.
Advocating on your behalf, you're listening to the Hushmore Black Forum. Tell your friends about us. Saturdays, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. right here in cyberspace.
We'll be back. We got some local stuff here in the ATL that we gotta get to here. Coming up on I guess the 31st, we got elections here for various offices. I guess Congress, the United States Congress, a couple of state seats, a couple of bills. One of the local bills, area bills, is a 1% sales tax hike for Fulton, DeKalb, Gwinnett, I think a Cobb County, surrounding counties, therefore, as they put it, transportation for major transportation projects around the area, how they put it, uh, 1% sales tax for transportation projects. With people coming out on both sides of that issue, that's a big issue here when you're talking about raising your taxes on yourself from 8% up to 9%. It's one cent on the dollar for everyone living in, I guess, 5, 6, 7 county area here around Atlanta to try to improve the transportation system of the area there. Hey, well, people, there's pros and cons on both sides of that thing because the people that's living in the city of Atlanta, both Fulton and DeKalb, a citizen has been paying a moderate tax for years and years without any help from people in Gwinnett, Cobb, and the likes out some of those counties there. I would never join MATA. And now it seems to a lot of us that we're going to be double taxed on for the things that very thing that we've been paying into for some 25 years here in the city of Atlanta, Fulton County, and DeKalb County, where these outlying counties are now bogged down with traffic and is desperately looking for some kind of remedy and an income, this T-slot tax thing that they're talking about now here in the city. Now, obviously, we out here on the Hushmore Black Forum, we are against anything that is going to put the citizens of Atlanta at a disadvantage there. We've got a lot of poor folks in the city that can't afford to pay an additional tax just off the top like that. Now, obviously, we realize that some of the things, you know, we need economic development, and the argument for the proponents of this thing is that this is somehow going to create some economic development and jobs. We need all that. We, Lord knows, we got 25-30% unemployment in our community, so we need all of the economic development. So it's a two edged a sword here. This issue is, it's not an easy, simple issue to come down on. So we still researching it. We haven't made it a recommendation. We've got another show to go next week, the 30th, the 28th. Our next show, we're gonna do a little more research and get with the right now. Just the folks that we talk to in the street, it's about a 50-50 split. Like just in my unscientific the Hushmo, we get out and talk to the community, and right now it's about a 50-50 split on folks that's going to vote for it and those that's going to vote against it. We still kicking this thing around. We're trying to gather as much information on it to see exactly how this thing is going to benefit the citizens of Atlanta and Fulton County. And if we can get enough information, weigh the benefits against the negative aspects of it, and Lord knows we can see the negative aspects because you make you're asking us to vote a tax in on ourselves, including a lot of people who can't afford to be paying anything more. So we're still looking at it. We haven't came down one way or the other on it. We're sitting right there on that fence, like so many other of our fellow citizens are right now. But we will. We're going to be digging into this thing over the next week, seeing if we can get to the bottom of it one way or the other, whether it's going to be good for the citizens, our grassroots people who we advocate for. Yeah, that 90% of the folks in our community who don't have a voice, we like to provide them some access and get their voices out here. Right now, from what we can tell, like I said, around here in Atlanta, it's about a 50-50 split. It is a complicated issue now. So we're still looking at that. That's the transportation bill that's coming before the voters of Georgia here on the 31st of July. This is a regional thing, y'all, out there in Facebook land. And we got a call in number two, y'all, by the way, on the Hushmo Black Forum, 310-742-1899. You can ring us up. We take a few calls from time to time. We don't take many. But we do. We like to hear from the listening audience from time to time to get their input. That's just a local thing. We're talking about the massacre out there in Colorado. We see where a federal judge down in Atlanta yesterday rejected some preacher's complaint that his parishioners had the right to bring guns to the church. The judge said no, they didn't. Georgia law, the Georgia law that was passed in 2010 forbidden guns in churches, synagogues, and other religious assembly places was forbidden, and thank goodness the judge upheld that. And hey, I'm worried right now. They're talking about allowing students to carry guns in college. That's the craziest thing in the world, y'all. That's the craziest thing in the world for anybody even to suggest that that is any kind of way make any kind of sense. It's almost insane, y'all, what's going on in the country today. It is scary, y'all. When the NRA is controlling a fair amount of the politicians up there in Congress, is controlled by the National Rifle Association. Now, something is wrong with our politics here, y'all. If the National Rifle Association and people like Robert Norquist, this rascal who got these other politicians to sign some oath swearing that they won't raise taxes. Hey, he's got these politicians signing an oath not to do their job up there in Congress, what it amounts to. They are abdicating their responsibility to Grover Norquist. It's frightening, y'all. It is frightening what's going on with the politics of the day, y'all. The politicians, what's going on up there in that Congress is frightening. It's just scary. I mean, we haven't had a The Republican has not done one thing to work with this president since he's been in office, and I tell you that it's all because of a bunch of racists who has taken over the Republican Party. A minority group of racists who has taken over the Republican Party, yeah, who is doing far more damage to the country than they'll ever be able to do to President Barack Obama. They're doing far more damage to the country itself, yeah. We hope the people come to their senses come November 6th. We just hope that it's a lot of money. They're spending a lot of money to get rid of the president, yeah. A lot of the money is crazy, yeah. Money has a powerful influence here in this country, yeah. You can buy just about anything you want, including the presidency, with money. We got to hope and pray that this time we'll be able to offset that. By spending money, the other side spending money, the Democrats got to spend money, but we just hope that the people, that those independents take a good hard look at the choices that they've got to make here come November 6th. It's a pretty clear-cut choice between what the Republicans are talking about and what the Democrats are talking about, yeah. It's a clear choice. And hey, y'all, we just rambling on here. About 5 minutes to eight in the ATL. Saturday, July 21st, 2012, y'all. Welcome to the Hushmo Black Forum, where our motto is to do it bigger, to do it better, to do it longer. And out of necessity, sometimes we'll do it louder. Like I said, we don't like to do that. We like to keep everything on a keep everything on an even keel out here. But these are trying times, yeah. These are trying times. Hey, y'all out in cyberspace, how y'all doing? Hey, tell a friend about the Hushmo Black Forum, y'all. Tell them to come out and check us out on Saturday. We're out here every Saturday from 7 to 9. Or just go to our webpage, hushmoblack.com. Hushmoblack.com and follow us there. Our shows are archived out there. From that website, you can get to our Facebook page and find us there. And from there, you can get over to our Blog Talk Radio page if you want to listen to us there. So we got several ways that you can check out the Hushmo Black Forum. But, at your leisure, come out and download it and listen, pass it on to a friend. We cover events that affect our community, Americans of Africa, in a sense. That's what we do out here on the Hushmo Black Forum. So, and right now, just about 100% consumed with the presidential race. That thing is taking up everything now. Oh, yeah, we look at the economy and all that stuff, too. But right now, that race is so important to us that we're going to be spending the next 5 months, y'all, and that right up until that November 6th date, zeroing in on what's going on with that thing. Because it's crazy. We're going to leave all that stuff alone tonight. We're just reflecting on what happened out in Colorado. We're going to try to make sense of that tonight, reflect on it, really, and just hope and pray that this is just one individual who snapped under whatever pressures that he may have been under. And there's nothing more to it than that. That's what we hope. Surely, by my next show next week, we'll know a lot more. We'll be able to talk about it in a little more detail. So we're just going to pray that it was nothing more than a lone wolf, as they say, acting all by himself. Little sports for y'all. The Braves. Hey, my Atlanta Braves, y'all. Tiger Woods in action. He's over at the Bridge Open. He's 5 strokes out, y'all, going into the last round there. It's just 2 guys in front of him. 2 or 3, the leader, and 2 guys, 1 stroke up on him. So he's right there. On a Sunday, he's right there in the mix of things, y'all. We'll see what happens tomorrow there. That's the British Open. That thing is just about to come to a conclusion there. Tiger, 5 back. Going into Sunday. So it's going to be a great final round in the British Open. You know, that thing, you know, they're on that, they 6 hours in front of us over there in England there. So you got to get up early, y'all, to follow that British Open. Hey, it's going to be the same thing with the Olympics now. Remember the Olympics in London start next Friday, 27th of July. And I like the Olympics. A lot of folks don't like track and field and all that stuff. I love the Olympics. But I like track and field, period. But yeah, about the only time you get a chance to see the world class athletes that's involved in track and field is pretty much the Olympics and you know, some of the major races leading up to the Olympics and things like that. And I always enjoy the Olympics. They're coming up, but yeah, that time difference is going to have you getting up early, y'all. Well, set your recorder. You can record all that stuff now pretty easy. I mean, but. Yeah, to follow that stuff live, you got to get up. You got to get up 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, yeah. Now the Braves. I made a comment about the Braves. That y'all, we thumping the Nationals. They leading us in the National League East in our division. Anyway, we went up there 3.5 games out. Right now, we're 1.5 out. We done beat them the first two. Got a double hitter with them tonight. A double hitter today. We won the first one, leading 2-0 in the second one. So if we mess around and sweep them, we come out of this thing here almost even with them, a half game back. If we sweep them 4 games, we come out of this thing. Hey, hold up there. No, we come out of this game leading. If we win that game tomorrow and win this one, we come out of this thing leading them by half a game, I believe. Yeah. So this is a big, big series for us. This is a big series for us. So I don't know. Yeah, that's the Braves, y'all. What else is going on? The Olympics, I just made the Dream Team. The basketball thing, but I like the Olympics. I like track and field. I do like the baseball, and the tennis is a part of the mix over there now. And the Dream Team, Kobe Bryant made some kind of crazy statement about they could beat the original Dream Team, and I don't know about that. I don't know. It'll be a tough. It'll be a tough matchup. Now if they had Shaq on the team. That would be different. If they had Shaq on that team, that would be different today. Shaq 4 years ago, or 8 years ago, I'd say they'd have a chance to beat the Dream Team. But without a big man, I don't know, because remember that Dream Team had David Robinson and Patrick Ewing. Those were great, great big men. And Michael. They had Michael and Magic and Barkley. Those were great, great Bird. So that wasn't no easy easy team to get through, y'all. Oh, no. That thing, that wasn't no easy team to get through. But it would have been a challenge because, like I said, we got that team they got now with LeBron and Durant and great, great players out there, Kobe. I don't know. I right now, without Shaq and a big man of that caliber, I'm gonna pick the '92 team. That's who I'm gonna come down on, y'all. Hey, the Hushmo is gonna come down with the '92 dream team, the original. We're going to come down. We think they'll win that thing by 2 points. Hey, that's just my opinion, y'all. Don't go bet no money on that. Charles Barkley said that boy's out of his mind. He's talking about Kobe. He's talking about some kid making a crazy statement like that. Hey, I don't know. Yeah, it's a hard thing. That's one of those things you'll never be able to find the answer to one way or the other, y'all. No, so I'm just speculating. I'm coming down with the dream, original dream team. That's who's sad. I'm going to come down on, and we'll just see. But, hey, y'all, welcome to the Hushmo Black Forum, y'all. Yeah, where our motto is to do it bigger, to do it better, to do it longer. And out of necessity, sometime we'll do it louder. Advocating on behalf of Americans of African descent for social justice, not because we don't love everybody. Now, I told y'all once, we love everybody out here. We just happen to be a part of that community, find ourselves advocating by extension on their behalf. It's about 5 minutes after 8, y'all. On this beautiful eve. You know, we've been had some kind of, I guess, a monsoon season where this thing is start to rain here in the afternoons. Every day it seems about, I don't know, sometime between 3 and 7, y'all. We can figure out just about every day between 3 and 7 for the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been getting some showers. Sometimes of you. I don't know if that's a pattern you know, down in Florida, every day like that, it was around 2 to 6 o'clock, they'd come up with a shower down there. That's why they wind up in the enclosed baseball stadium down there because of how the weather was so crazy. But every day they'd have this. Reminded me of when I was in Vietnam. That used to have what they call a monsoon season, where every day there were rain, sometimes for 2 weeks straight, almost 24 hours a day, y'all. For 2 weeks straight, and it'd stop and dry up and start back raining again. Days at a time, yeah. That was monsoon season there. It was seasonal, but it was just crazy, crazy type weather. And that's what we got going on here now. Well, you know that climate change, y'all. Somebody said, oh, no, don't stop me on that because, you know, Rush Limbaugh go off saying no such thing as climate change or climate warming or nothing like that. Ain't nothing like, period. That's what Rush in the game says. I don't know. How do you know? I don't know. I don't think you're a scientist or any kind of weather scientist. I don't think so. I've never. he seemed to be an expert on a lot of stuff. He seemed to be an expert on a lot of things, huh? He was talking about that Batman movie. See, and sure enough, somebody went out and killed somebody at that movie the next day. The very next day. Now, did he have an effect on that? Did he foresee that event? Did he have some influence on that event? I don't know. It's probably worth looking into. Oh, absolutely. It's worth looking into, yeah. Hey. The vision is, and the politics has got crazy. I was looking at Mitt Romney the other day up in, what was he at, up in Cincinnati at this town hall meeting or somewhere in Ohio there. Asked this lady a question. She flat now called the president a monster in a serious tone. This monster has destroyed this country. This monster, that monster is what she called the president. Now, I've never heard tones like this used toward a sitting president, you know, in my life. And I've been following, like I said, politics since 1952, since Eisenhower took office then, and I remember Truman. But, yeah, I've never heard anything like it close to it, and I contend it's all to do with the man's color, you know, period. No way would no president suffer the abuse that this one has other than the fact that you have people in the country who don't like the man because of his color, period. And, I mean, yeah, you can run away from it. The right don't want to hear that. Oh no, y'all, everything is racism. Everything is not. And you're talking about the 20% of the things that are and the 20% of the people who are racist and the devastating effect that they can have and do have and is having right now today in our politics. Yeah, it's a fact. It ain't no imaginary crying wolf. No, it's not imaginary. It's a fact that racists out here in this country is doing a disservice to this political process of ours. Period. There's no getting around that. We're not crying wolf. We calling a spade a spade. That's what we do out here on the Huntsville Black Forum, man. We call a spade a spade. Yeah. So we're not going to stop. We certainly not going to stop calling a spade a spade. We're not going to stop talking about the truth. No way. No way, y'all. People don't like to hear. They don't like to hear. Well, some of them don't. But it's what we do out here on the Huntsville Black Forum. Yeah. We call it like we see it. Just like we see it here. Hey, y'all, we're going to be taking a quick break here. We're just rambling on as we always do here. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back. It's about 10 after 8. We'll be right back. Y'all hang in there. You got me, the Hushmo.
Advocating on your behalf, you're listening to the Hushmo Black Forum. Tell your friends about us. Saturdays, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. right here in cyberspace.
Hey, welcome back to the Hushmo Black Forum, y'all. Out in cyberspace. How y'all doing? Oh, yeah. We moving right along here, y'all. Saturday. July 21st. Y'all got your summer vacation in this year? We got a couple of short things planned coming up here. We're looking forward to it. We always enjoy getting away for a few days, and we've got a couple of things coming up. Got to go to a wedding. Here, I guess it's next weekend. We'll be at a wedding. One of my nieces is getting tying that knot. Want to wish her all the best. And we'll be going up to Memphis, I guess, Memphis, Tennessee. Believe it or not, we've been to Memphis a couple of times, but never to get out and on Beale Street, anything like that, to really check the city out. Looking forward to that. We'll be up there for a few days. I mean, just to turn around, go to the wedding, spend a few days there, and come back. But we're going to get down on Beale Street, try to check out I think B.B. King's got a club there, and we want to check that out. Got a couple of casinos close by. I'm sure we'll get there one day. We're not much of a casino person, though, y'all. we're not much of a casino person. We never had any kind of luck in those places. But we do. We go in there and spend $2 or $3 now. We ain't totally against. We won't say we won't go in there and lose a few dollars. We will do that and have done it. So we just haven't won anything, is what we're saying. Now, we ain't going to lose too much either, though. Oh, no. That's why you'll lose too much money in those places. Don't wait. But we'll get over there to check them out. I'm a Vegas man when it comes to casinos. I like Vegas. I just like that whole atmosphere. For casinos and things of that nature, you know, there's no place come close. That I've, none that I've seen. No way. But we're looking forward to Memphis, getting out and checking the town out. Yeah. What else going on, y'all? Oh, some of that stuff is going on here, but we kind of just autopilot tonight, y'all. Just kind of chilling here. Talking about, speaking of chilling, we want to let you hear, since we're not going to get too deep into the politics of today. We're taking the night off, kind of just out of respect for the tragedy that happened here Friday morning in Colorado. We got a clip just dealing with this little episode in my life that I talked about in my first book, The Water Boy, The Life and Trials of Jimmy C. Cameron. That thing started out, I've told the story out here, if y'all know. I started out when I retired from IT in 2007. Well, my body broke down too. We're all disabled veterans, so we had several issues going on there. We retired in 2007 there, and next thing you know, we started writing a book. Just wanted to do an autobiography, I guess, if you will. So we started writing. We didn't know anything about writing. Took a couple of evening courses in creative writing and stuff like that. And started out writing my first book there. Bored, I assure you, of any kind of literary value. But the story, just a fascinating story. Started out talking about myself, kind of morphed into autobiography or a biography, if you will, of my family's history here in Georgia, kind of just skirted over that thing. And then got stuck on part of my life in Vietnam when I got wounded and had this little epiphany, a little run-in with the man upstairs, if you will. We tell that story, and sure enough, that thing kind of dominates that book. My first book, The Water Boy, The Life and Trials of Jimmy C. Cameron. Yeah, it's kind of dominated by. Excuse me, y'all. That's something in the air. It's kind of dominated by that experience over there in Vietnam there when we got wounded. And we kind of tell about it. It's just a fascinating tale that we're going to share it with you there just to kind of get on something a little more spiritual, if you will. So we're gonna let you listen to this. It's about 12 minutes there. It's a little clip on my epiphany, exactly what happened the day that I got wounded in Vietnam some 46 years ago this month, the 16th of July, 1966. Yeah, in the jungles of Vietnam here. Y'all listen up and see what you think of it. It's in my book. Get my book, The Water Boy, The Life and Trials of Jimmy C. Cameron, and it's got a full breakdown of that battle, Operation Hastings, that I was on over there in Vietnam when I got wounded. Y'all listen up, though, and see what you think. I might shed some light on some stuff for you.
That day, I was out of bullets, shot up, crawling back blindly through the jungles there, and it's when God actually was carrying me. I look back at it now, at that point when my spirit left my body and formed with my two friends' spirit, that utopian feeling that I had, was trying to figure it out for. It took me 40 years to see where I was at there. I was at or in the presence of God's similitude. The odds of it happening to anyone just like that is astronomically rare. You have to have three spirits connecting together. I had my two dead friends, a spirit there, and mine's outside of my body, connected up to reach that that level of spirituality, or in fact the body of God Almighty himself, was in my grasp that day. And it's why today when I look at religion, and I define myself, my dogma, as being a God-fearing child of an almighty, loving God. I want to be clear on that, because where some of my thinking and some of my thought processes differ, or not differ, but come in conflict with a lot of Christians, mainstream Christians, preachers, or just Christian people, is that Jesus Christ, the worship of Jesus Christ. I worship the Christ Spirit in Jesus of Nazareth. I believe that I share, in fact, I know I share that Christ charity with him. So we have a parallel a belief there, but it's, there's a caveat in the way that I look at Jesus Christ. I, as a God-fearing child of God, if I take the Bible here, King James or whatever Bible we use, I was a God-fearing child of God. Long before, if I started reading from Genesis back to Revelation, long before I got to the New Testament, I was a God-fearing child of God Almighty. Long before I got to the book of Matthew in the New Testament. So that's just one of my thinkings there. But yeah, my epiphany was nothing short of than my spirit encountering the similitude of God Almighty Himself, and He carried me back. And right now, I can talk about it. Can how shall I say it? I can expound on it now and hopefully help to share some light on just what it is that it takes to get to that point, back to God Almighty Himself. I tell everybody that they kind of take it with a grain of salt. Yeah, that's what it is. I said, well, no, but you need faith, hope, and charity to get back to the body of God. They look at me kind of strange. So, well, yeah, that's true. Everybody needs love and faith and hope, too. But how's that? It's not a... I don't take that lightly. I know that to be a fact. My virtue, believe it or not, my greatest virtue, even why I'm here today talking to you, is charity. God Almighty told me Himself. I asked Him, how did I make it out of this? And 40 years later, how did I get out of that valley of the shadow of death that day, when I had no one else or no other avenue out of that. I'm crawling back. I didn't have them with bullets gone. Could have used them if I had them. I'm shot 4 or 5 times, crawling on the ground, bleeding. Bullets, 2,000-3,000 folks shooting all over me. And how I got back, finally, after 40 years, came to the realization that I better be asking God Himself about it. And sure enough, I mean, He let me know that the only reason that I'm still standing here today is to talk about His greatness and His mercy on that day. And that my saving grace is the virtue of charity, which He stored in my psyche long before I entered my mother's womb. That's what He told me. So, charity. While talking to God that day, He let it be known to me I could go to First Corinthians chapter 13. Some people call it the love chapter of the New Testament. It is one of my favorite. and talks about faith, hope, and charity. And I do use charity. That's God's divine love, as opposed to man's love. And referring to faith, hope, and charity, my God-given virtue is His divine charity. So I will never, and while I believe that charity and love are synonymous, I believe it to be with a caveat, because of it seems the devil sits, you see, on that fence between God's all-encompassing, pure, inner, spiritual charity and man's compromisable love for his outer reality. That's the caveat. Now, your task, to get back to the body of God is to get to the point in your spirituality where your love matches God Almighty's charity. And when you get there, then charity and love will truly be synonymous, and you're on your way. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
That I did, I don't know, some time ago when I first got out here on blog talking about of what happened on that day when I got wounded in Vietnam. We're going to talk a little more about it there to make, because just listening to it again, his first time I've listened to it in months, and I see just to the average listener out there trying to figure out what I'm talking about in that piece. It was about I got wounded. I'm a disabled veteran too, y'all, by the way. Yeah, I'm a hero. Got wounded in Vietnam. Got shot some five times over there on July 16th, 1966. Right in the thick of things over there. I was in the Marine Corps, 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines, G Company. We were participating on this Operation Hastings. Was the name of it at the time. It was one of the biggest operations of that war, of that Vietnam War, in 1966. It was one of the first major operations up near the DMZ. That's the militarized zone between separating South Vietnam and North Vietnam. My outfit was one of the first units up there on that DMZ confronting the North Vietnamese who was coming through that DMZ down to South Vietnam there, wrecking havoc in the process. And we participated in that thing there. Got wounded, is what we were talking about on that clip there, on July 16th in that thing there. Just a horrific battle. And we just to shed a little more light on it, we're Lance Corporal Cameron, Jimmy C. Cameron, at the time I was the team leader, or fire team leader of, y'all know anything about the military? Yeah, a fire team in a kind of regular a battalion fighting a unit in the Marine Corps. Company G was an infantry battalion made up of some four squads, and a fire team squad is made up of something like three fire teams, each of them containing four people. We have a fire team leader and three other people in that fire team. And my fire team, I got to be a fire team leader by July 16th, 1966. I was fire team leader. Had supposed to have three other people under me. Actually, I only had two. I was a man short. In a lot of times, you would have a fire team would be short because of injury, because of rotation in and out of the war zone. And I was waiting on another man, but on that day, well, I only had two, a PFC Gerald Dawson and a PFC John Carey, and myself made up my fire team. And just so happened on that morning of July 16th, we were up on the point of this operation here. Some, I don't know, this big operation, y'all. Over 25,000 people participated on both sides, north and south of Vietnam. We being part of the South Vietnam, some 12,000 Marines was involved in that operation. To make a long story short, I'm the fire team leader. My fire team was leading about 2,000 people coming, sweeping a river, a jungle down at in the bottom of a valley. That proverbial, if you will, valley of the shadow of death is what it turned out to be literally for us that morning. So my fire team, I'm the fire team leader now, picture this, and I got two other people, PFC Dawson and PFC Carey. I don't know if y'all, the military folks can appreciate what I'm describing here. When you're talking about I'm the point and I'm leading 2,000 people down this river valley, this river that's in the valley, a jungle surrounding the river, and a jungle so dense that it was easier for us to follow that river distances at a time rather than try to cut through the jungles there on the side of the river. Every once in a while, we'll run across a clear spot on the side. We come up out of the river and, the trails and stuff that the locals had used, they use that river for all kinds of different things, for transportation up and down, water, all kinds of different things they use that river for. So there were trails in the jungles along the way, but for the most part, we're coming down that morning. We were walking down the Song He River there in Quang Tri Valley. It's in my book, The Water Boy. I kind of tell about that day, but just briefly, I want you to share the experience tonight from me firsthand. So we're walking down there, some 2,000 people. We're leading my little old fire team, Company G, 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines. I'm out front, my fire team. We're about 100 yards. Picture this. We're about 100 yards in front of 2,000 people walking in a westerly direction down this river in this valley. We were separated from another part of our troops, Company K. Company K, 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines, was like 3 miles down the river. They were stationed there, and we're 3 miles to the east of them. We're marching toward them in hopes of trapping the enemy in a vice. Okay, we know the enemy is somewhere in between us. We know that we got intelligence. We know they're somewhere in between us. We don't know exactly where. We're going to get them in a vice. And okay, so we're here we go. G Company, G and H Company, we're sweeping on both sides of the river and in the river, trying to meet up with K Company about 3 miles away down there. We're going to get the enemy in between. They can't run no further because we got K Company planted down there. We're going to push them right to K Company and destroy everything in between. 10:30 in the morning, my fire team, Lance Corporal Dawson, PFC Dawson, rather, PFC Carey, and Lance Corporal Cameron, moi, myself, we out front about 100 yards. About 10:30 that morning, this is after we have an encounter about an hour or so prior and run into the enemy. So we know the enemy is there because we had ran into him about 8:30 that morning, killed a couple. And continued down that river there. We all on edge by 10:30. We on serious edge there because we know the enemy is there. You could feel the tension in the air. And sure enough, about 10:30, I've got I'm the fire team leader. I've got PLC Carey on the point. He's about 25 yards in front of PLC Dawson. Okay, and I'm about 25 yards behind PLC Dawson in a line, okay, walking down this river, okay, because we're on the point. Now, we're going to trip off anything. We encounter the enemy. What that point does is acts as a trip wire. Yeah, a trip wire. We're going to, if we walk into an ambush, we're going to be the first one that alert those other 2,000 troops because somebody's going to start shooting at us. And sure enough, about 10:30 that morning, PLC Carey comes up out of the river because he detected a clearing on the side of the river there that we can use a trail. He comes up out of the river. Now, PLC Dawson is about 25 yards behind him, and I'm about 25 yards behind him, okay? So we get... PLC Carey come to the clearing, come out of the river, walks, proceeds into that clearing, which was about, that clearing was, if you can picture what a football field looked like. So we got about a clearing that's about 30 yards wide, a clearing that's about 30 yards long, I'd say, 30, 40 yards and about, you know, 10 or 12 yards wide. It's a clearing in the jungle there. Some kind of trail had been utilized that for whatever. So PFC Carey, he's out there in this clearing. Okay, remember he's about 25 yards in front of PFC Dawson. By the time PFC Dawson come to the opening there, he climbs up and spots keep an eye contact with PFC Carey because he got to keep contact with everybody in that fire team. So we don't want to let now I can't see him because I'm behind him. Remember, I'm 75 yards to the rear of a PLC Carey. If we just stretch out 25, 50, I'm 50 yards behind him, and I can't see him when he initially hit that clear spot. By the time PLC Carey Dawson get to the clearing, PLC Carey was in the middle of the clearing. And about that time, about 10:30, all hell breaks loose. PLC Carey gets shot. Boom, 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 boom. PLC Dawson is the only one that has got eye contact with him. I got eye contact with PLC Dawson, but I'm still in the river. So I'm making my way up to the clearing there. And by the time I get to the clearing, Well, first of all, when PFC Carey gets shot, PFC Dawson is looking at him because he's right there at the clearing, and he hollered back, Carey's shot. He got hit, and I holler back to the sergeant, got a man hit. Can you get to him? I'm still getting to the clearing. I get up to the clearing, and by that time, all hell unbroke loose. Everybody's shooting now. All it takes is one shot, y'all. By the time I get to the clearing up there, look out to see what's going on, everybody is shooting on both sides because we done stopped. Everybody done dropped in their tracks. And, you know, half my people are still in the river. Half of them still in the river because we marching down the river. Now, H Company on the other side of the river was out We got G Company on one side of the river, H Company on the other side of the river, marching in the western direction toward K Company. Just so happened, H Company was out of that river, and G Company was still in it. When they came out, they were coming out on the right side of the river, heading in a western direction. But for the most part, a lot of G Company was still in that river. So anyway, the sergeant asked me, could we get out to, because he can't see what's going on. Man, we're still about 100 yards in front of the rest of the troops back there. The point is, okay. So he hollers out. I ordered the PFC Dawson to see if he can get to a PLC Dawson to render some assistance, and you know, everybody else is shooting, trying to brad, covering, you know, engaging the enemy. So PLC Dawson takes off. I'm watching him now. I'm watching him. He takes off and gets all the way to PLC carry out there in that opening. I'm right at the opening now, shooting, trying to provide cover. Soon as you get the PFC carry, picks him up and trying to attend to him, he gets shot. Boom, 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 boom. I'm looking at all this now. I'm 25, 30 yards away, right at the river's edge, looking out in the clearing. And I holler back at my sergeant, "Sorry, we got two down. Can you get to him?" You know, and everybody else is making their way to this opening and going up on the banks to sit up and try to get in some kind of position to shoot. So here I go. Ain't nobody else to go out there. I got two men out there in a pile of damn blood. I'm looking at them from, you know, about 35 yards away. And Sergeant, "Can you get to them? We covering." Here I go. Ain't nobody else left for me. I got to go out there to see what's going on with my team. They all out there in a pile, you know. So I go out there. Bullets flying everywhere, y'all. As soon as you get out in that opening, the enemy is up on a bank. They got us pent down. They up built. They dug into the side of this darn mountain. We're down in the valley, remember. They shooting down on us. And I'm crawling out there. I can't stick my head up because they got that darn clearing. They had that clearing. They know we had to come out of that river into that clearing. They got that clearing covered. They shoot anything to come up in that clearing, y'all. Oh, yeah. They shoot everything. They got that clearing cut. So I'm crawling out there, bullets flying all over the place. And this is on my way out. I got to crawl about 35 yards to get to my two men who was out there. Shot up to no end. So by the time I finally got there, I'm out of bullets, y'all. I done shot up every damn bullet I had. By the time I crawl out to my friends, I get there. PLC Dawson, PLC Carey was laying on his face. And I get out there. PLC Dawson was kind of humped over him. So I grab PLC Dawson and kind of pull him over into my arms and look at him. Sure enough, he was alive. I thought he was going to be dead. He was still alive, barely, but he was alive. I asked him how he was doing. He was telling me he couldn't move. He had got shot the last time, several times. The last time he got shot in the back, just paralyzed him. He couldn't even use his rifle to stand up on or crawl or anything. And he thought that PLC Dawson, who was laying under the bottom of us at that time, was dead. He said he hadn't been able to get him to respond, and he thought he was dead. And this is, I'm just talking to him. He's just about out of it. This went on for maybe, you know, that conversation went on for maybe 2 minutes. And I'm holding him in my arm there, and sure enough, next thing you know, I get hit. Boom! Right in the right... right in the back, right lung collapse. The craziest feeling, y'all. I don't know if anybody's ever been involved in the Hey, now, by this time, y'all, 20-some thousand people are shooting at each other. Everybody's shooting. Everybody out there is shooting. That's why I know how this thing, talking about everybody having a gun. I know what happened when everybody got guns. So when shot go off, everybody starts shooting. And that's what happened that day. Everybody was shooting now. And I can't see nobody by this time because I'm out in the open. I done lost, when I get out into that clearing, I can't even see my own people. because they still remember. They still in the river and dug in on the sides of the bank. They had to come out of that river to find some land to dig in to set up the machine guns and stuff. So they all on the back, but I can't see them. I can't see nobody. Not when I'm out there laying and shot, I can't see nobody. So and they shooting. The enemy is shooting at me. They's coming shooting across the river over my head, back up on the mountainside at the enemy. All G Company is shooting, so everybody's shooting, and the bullets flying all over the place. I get shot. Okay, hold on, my friend. First words out of my mouth, God help me. That was the first words out of my mouth. God help me. From that moment on, some crazy things happened. Crazy thing happened that it's hard to tell people about that incident, what occurred then, when I called out to God for help. I'm right in the middle of this most vicious time on this battlefield, in this jungle, in this valley. I call on God. I didn't have anybody else to call on. My two friends were dead. But my spirit came out to go a little further. My spirit at that moment, I blanked out. It came out of my body, and somehow at that moment, PFC Carey and PFC Dawson, who was laying there, dead, our spirits kind of bonded some kind of way. Our spirit kind of bonded, and what happened was crazy. What I experienced was truly, truly far beyond anything I could ever describe, even to this day. It was. It took me 40 years. I thought about that. It took me 40 years to try to make sense of it. That day and what happened when I called on God for help, and sure enough, by His grace, I walked out of there. Never should have. Never should have. It was just lasted. PLC Carey, just to clarify, it was white. He was a white Catholic from Portland, Oregon. PLC Dawson was black, a young black guy from Waterbury, Connecticut. Both of those guys died in their arms, literally. Our spirits joined some kind of way that was, put me in a place that I'd never would have or could have imagined that I could get to. And it took me about 40 years. First of all, once I let me go back to the story now. I'm shot. Okay, my right lung collapsed. A pad blanks out. My spirit comes out of my body. Now I kind of join with my other two dead friends' spirit. Our spirit joined together, and we had so much power at that point, ability to do anything we wanted to do. At that moment, and it was the experience was so crazy, but what got me out of that utopia and feeling, because I was on my way back to the body of God, as I thought or found out later, and sure enough, I believe that to be the case after 40 years of being out there in the wilderness trying to figure out what happened. I did finally go back to the man upstairs and try to get some clarification back in 2007, like I said, some 40-something years after the thing happened. But okay, just briefly, I don't know how long this thing lasted, me being spiritually out of my body and joined with those two fellows. But what brought me out of it, now remember, people are shooting all over the place, bullets flying all over there in place. I'm still standing there, shot. What brought me out of that hookup with my two friends, I got shot again in the back. And I woke up. I'm shot twice. Now I'm really messed up. I can't breathe. I'm bleeding. I ain't got no bullets. Can't hardly move. The friend's still in my arm. And I come to my senses. And I'm by this time, I'm saying the Lord's Prayer. I'm saying the Lord's Prayer. The only prayer I do. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I'm repeating the Lord's Prayer, y'all. And shooting is going all over the place. Bullets just flying. I could, literally, the heat, it's 95 degrees over there in Vietnam that day, as it was, and with all the shooting going on, I could swear the temperature rose another 10 or 15 degrees. I'm laying on the ground, bleeding, and I come to, just a split second after the thaw, I'm shot twice. Now, I got to do something. I got to try to get 30 yards back to that river. Is right there. Back to that cover. I got to do that because everybody's shooting them. I saw they looking at us out there. Okay. And I leave a friend now because I still had him in my arms. Gerald Dawson, I still had him in my arms. And somehow this guy, Jim, you better get out of here. This guy's dead. I don't know where those words came from. I put him down. I said, I got to go. And I turn around, try to start crawling back to the river is there where the cover was at. And by this time, I go about 10 yards. I got shot again in the leg. Boom, the right leg. I'm crawling over it. I can't do it. I move. And I get shot again. And by that time, the sergeant, my other squad members are coming out to get me. I get about another 5 yards. One of my other squad members get to me. He's in the tier then. So as he touched me, he gets shot. Boom, 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 boom. And he drops off. I go about another 2 or 3 yards, and another one of my squad members get to me. He's still trying to pull me. As soon as he touched me, he gets shot. Boom, 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 boom. Hey, this is all happening, y'all, out there in real time. Everybody's getting shot in my team. And I get about 5 yards from the cure, and I get shot again in my right arm. Boom! I'm shot 4 times. Now, I ain't got back to cover yet. I got shot 4 times. By that time, I'm still just, all thing I'm doing is repeating the Lord's Prayer. And I finally get to the cover, and everybody, we're dragging everybody out. We're dragging everybody back to cover there. And I get back there, they bandage me up, the corpsmen and stuff, shooting me up with pain medicine. I lay there on that ground. They have it spent down, y'all, for 4 hours that day. And I'm laying back there bleeding like a big dog from about 10:30 that morning to about 11 o'clock or 2 o'clock that afternoon before he was able to get us out of there, y'all. And I tell that story today. It took me 40 years to figure out what happened. Hey, y'all, time is coming up over here, y'all. But, to make a long story short, I got out of there that morning by the grace and mercy of God Almighty. I called on him. He heard my prayer, answered it, and carried me out of there. It took me a while to figure out just what had happened. But I'll finish telling y'all this story next week, y'all, and just the end of it. But through the grace and mercy of God Almighty, I was able to survive that thing. Had something else for me to do. Just wasn't my time. He had another mission for me to fulfill, and I believe that today. And Hey, y'all, I'm right up against it, y'all. The Hushmo Black Forum, y'all. Thank y'all for sharing your evening with me. And we'll see you next week, same time, same Blog Talk Radio station. Go to hushmoblack.com, y'all. Check us out. Tell a friend about us. We'll see y'all back out here next week. Ciao.
The Hushmo Black Forum, advocated on your behalf by covering news and events affecting the African-American community. Check us out at the Hushmo Black Forum, www.blogtalkradio.com.